This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Jeff Cascarno and is entitled, The Great Commandment.
So the scene is the Wednesday before the crucifixion on Friday, and Jesus is in the temple. The religious leaders here are the Pharisees, and they are trying to trip him up by prompting him to answer their crafted questions intended to discredit him. Keep in mind, at this point in time, the amount of hatred that they have for Jesus. He had just cleansed the temple from the money changers, and Jesus is contradicting everything that the Pharisees and the Sadducees stand for. And they wanted not only to have Jesus out of their lives, they wanted him dead. So, and also Jesus had told a series of parables leading up to this in verses, chapter 21, verse 45. There were some parables that Jesus were relating, and they thought that these parables were about them. So think about their mindset at the moment. They're seething with hatred, and they're doing everything that they can to try and trip Jesus up. So this was a question directed at him that was politically oriented about taxes being paid to Caesar. And Jesus just totally befuddled them. It says that they marveled. No reply. He cut them off in their tracks. And they left after his answer. Then came the Sadducees with another question. So the Pharisees had their question, stopped in their tracks. Sadducees are there watching, listening to this. So they come. And then they ask him a theologic question that was very foolish in nature about the resurrection. Keep in mind what I just said about the Sadducees, that they did not believe in the resurrection. So they ask him a question about a woman and marriage in heaven, and really convoluted, you know, prior to that. And they wanted to trip Jesus up and discredit him theologically, and you can read this in verses 23 through 32. I'm going to skip over this to get to the next part. Then when the Pharisees heard this, they gathered together to discuss the situation. And this is one that they had never quite faced before. Never really had someone like Jesus claiming to be God in the flesh and speaking to them where they have no reply to what Jesus is saying. And they cannot trip him up. So they couldn't discredit him, and they're even angrier than they were from the first question. And they were no doubt discussing amongst themselves how he had just silenced the Sadducees. So one of them, a lawyer, asks him a question for the third time to test him. And in the book of Matthew, Matthew refers to lawyers as scribes, and they were scribes. He doesn't use the term lawyer, but this certainly was a lawyer and a scribe who were the people who took down the law, wrote the law, and expounded on it. So this lawyer in this account, and I'm going to go to the account in Mark now, asks a question, then agrees that Jesus has told the truth. Very interesting scenario here. So let's start in Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Then Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And in verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, He said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. In fact, notice that Jesus says to him in verse 34 that he is not far from the kingdom based on his understanding. I don't know if this lawyer was searching. Perhaps he was. But I find it interesting that he answers Jesus in verse 34, prior to that, he has answered correctly. So he's agreeing with Jesus, even though he's putting him to the test. So this question was trying to get Jesus to contradict Moses. Who was held in more esteem by these groups, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the written law, and the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, than Moses? They really wanted to trip him up by getting him to contradict Moses with that question. But what did Jesus do? He quoted Moses. And you'll see in Deuteronomy, verse 6:5, Jesus gave them right back. As Moses said, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is a verse that the Pharisees and Sadducees were very familiar with. And Jesus then goes on in chapter 23 to almost rail upon the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And if you read that, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through it, but if you have a moment, read verse 23 and just read what Christ says about hypocrites and how many times he uses that word, hypocrites. He says in verse 23, Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, saying that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. So he's instructing them to observe what they say. That observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. And what is that a definition of? A hypocrite. A hypocrite. That brings us to the core of today's message. So we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he's combining those two together. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, if we love God as we're supposed to, here as Christ has instructed us. So this is a good time, 1 week after Easter, to go back a few days before his crucifixion, to read this account, because this affects all of us as Christians in our everyday lives. So today's message is sort of a reminder of almost a spiritual check-in to kind of where we stand. If we love God as we're supposed to here in this instruction, we really can't do this on a part-time basis, can we? What is it like to love with all thy heart, all our heart, and all our soul, and all our mind, and strength, and might. Just think about that for a second. I'm going to repeat it again. To love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength, and might. How difficult is that? Would you say that that's a pretty difficult thing to do? Do you think each of us do a pretty good job at that? Here's where we need to ask ourselves the question, where do we stand in our spiritual life? And I say that because we sometimes tend to find ourselves leading two lives. We lead a spiritual life and we lead a secular life. Take it from someone who's in the business world, how easy it is to fall into that situation. A spiritual life here on Sunday morning, maybe when we're reading our devotions and prayer time, and then the secular life, everything that we are exposed to. Even if you are retired, you're still out and about, you still come across people, friends, neighbors, who don't say the things that you should be hearing. Matter of fact, they're probably saying things, they are saying things we should not be hearing. How do we respond to that? How do we react to that? In the business world, constantly confronted. And I say the business world, that could be not just in business, that could be in school where Gene teaches, or in some form of government, any place where you are meeting and greeting people on a regular daily basis. We're not supposed to lead two lives, are we? If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, we should be living one life to the best of our ability. Does that happen automatically? Does it? No, it doesn't. Do we need to be prompted? We do. We need to be prompted all the time. This is why fellowship is so important. Unfortunately, we tend to live in a more politically correct society, so we tend to not say things to our brothers and sisters out of pointing the finger or out of love? Out of love, right? It all depends on how you say it and how it's received. But I'll be the first to admit, I need to be held accountable. You know, I think sometimes we talk about large churches, you know, mega churches, because you come and you're kind of just a number. But I think one thing that mega churches have that serves them well if they're doing it right is these small groups that they get together. I just heard a radio ministry this week, and I heard the pastor talking about the group that he belongs to, because this small group, and they get together with some regularity, whether it's once a week, but they're all in touch on the phone, and they have someone to go to with everything. And I guess that group is intimate enough that they can share some of the things that are heavy on their heart with each other. That's something a lot of us don't have, do we? We don't have someone, maybe your spouse, maybe you have a good friend in its truest definition, that you can go to and you can lay those burdens on. It's hard to do it in a forum like this, right? An hour at church and maybe Wednesday nights. I know that there's a few groups in church. Ladies have a group on Tuesdays, I think, and there's a few other groups that where maybe you get a chance to open up a little bit. But it's a heavy burden to carry around when you don't have anybody that you can talk to, besides the Lord Himself. And I certainly hope that we are doing that. So it's not easy to stay the course. It's not easy to fall into, and I'll give you this definition, what we would call a usual way of behaving, something that a person does often and in a regular and repeated way. Anybody know what that's the definition of? A habit. Thank you. That's the definition of a habit. How easy is it to become complacent in life in general, let alone our spiritual lives, and to fall into the habit of, and I'll read it here. The Christian life should not be just going through the motions. Coming to church, singing, reading scripture, and listening to the pastor speak for 30 to 45 minutes. We should be growing, wanting to do more for Christ and His kingdom's work. Why? Because we love Him. Now, I would like to think that last Sunday was a pretty special Sunday in everybody's life, right? Pretty meaningful, especially if you watch some of those movies, you know, when you hear a Good Friday service, you really, really focused on Christ and what He did at Calvary. The public humiliation, the spitting upon, the brutal scourging that He took, all while uttering few or no words at all. And then taking on the sins of the world. Can't comprehend that one. Here it is, 1 week removed. This past week, have we thought about what we experienced and what we thought about last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? I just asked the question. We shouldn't be reading our devotions and uttering quick prayers just so we can put a check mark on the list that we did it. Now, I will confess that I have been here on a Sunday morning in the back of the church where I normally sit, and I have sung hymns. I have read the scripture, or responsive reading, if we had one that day, and I heard the pastor speak. And I left, and the thought would occur to me later that I didn't get anything out of that hour and 15 minutes at all. Whose fault is that? Mine. Why did that happen? And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I suspect it probably has never happened to anyone sitting here this morning. However, if it did, we are accountable for that. We're responsible for that. That means that we let the cares of this world come with us through those doors, and we didn't even take an hour to listen to what the pastor said, to listen to what is in those hymnals, which are powerful testimonies, and to take part in the praise of in the worship and praise hymns that Lauren leads. We got nothing. That's pretty sad. And I can tell you that you feel pretty guilty when you realize that. Sometimes you catch yourself realizing that, I'm just not paying attention. I'm not getting anything out of this. Truly, if we believe what we believe, the Holy Spirit laid something on the pastor's heart days or weeks before to bring to you that debt. Now, conversely, and I will ask for a show of hands on this one. How many times have you come to church, everyone sitting here, and the pastor stood behind this pulpit and gave a message, and for all intents and purposes, there could have been no one sitting here but you, and you thought that that message was intended just for you? How many have experienced that before? Isn't that interesting? That's the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. God speaking to you at that moment in time, and the pastor has no idea probably what's going on in everyone's individual lives at any given time. Sometimes, yes. And that message was just what you needed to hear. So thankfully, we have those moments as well. So, back to the habit and the checkmark thing. We need to hold each other accountable for that. And largely, we need to hold ourselves accountable, which is pretty tough to do. It's like going on a diet, or it's like saying you're gonna exercise, or you're going to start doing something different, you're going to quit doing this. How long does that last if you are left to your own discipline? We've all had moments, right? We've all had shiny moments where we actually did follow through and actually did complete something that we started. But it's pretty tough to do on your own, isn't it? This is why, there's all sorts of, I'm not just singling it out, but all sorts of weight loss programs that are, it's a multi-billion dollar market. How many commercials do you see in any given day? We're here for that purpose, because they know that people need that, and people are going to try it, and people make a lot of money on that sort of thing. So certainly, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, might, strength is not an easy thing to do. And while we might find ourselves very convicted by that, where we may even push further away from God, that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing and what He wants us to do. There is mercy and grace. Praise God. Amen? Because we certainly all need it. We all fall short every single day. All I'm talking about here this morning is, how about we just try to put a little more effort behind it? Starting today, just a little more effort to pay attention to those devotions, to not just utter a quick prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer is the example of a prayer. We've heard these sermons many times before. How should we start our prayer? With what? Lord, I need, or what? Praise. Lord, I love you. Lord, thank you for. But a lot of our quick prayers are, Lord, I need. You know, and we just need to stop and think. That's why God gave us a brain. And we sure forget these things very quickly. So, you know, if you heard this message today and you hear this same message again a month from now, it probably would be a good thing. You know, the person giving it to you would say, nah, that's, you know, I think I already said something about that. We don't want to do that again. But we would need it, I assure you. Love for our God takes effort. It takes time. It takes being still. And there's one. You know the verse, right? Be still and know what? That I am God. Do we take the time to be still? I will be the first to say that I am guilty for not being more focused. I can blame the world and all its distractions. I can blame lack of time, demands on my time from all angles. But I alone am responsible for not putting God first and above all these things. And again, we talked about fellowship and why fellowship is so important. We need to be concerned for each other in how we lead our lives and conduct ourselves. And not that any one of us is better than anyone else. Because if we say something to someone, it should be out of care, bless you, care for our brother or sister, and out of love. Every sermon that's preached from behind this pulpit should be preached out of love. And that's a challenge for every pastor that stands behind this pulpit every Sunday. That's a challenge to preach out of love. And that brings us to the second part of this verse and the command. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. How do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And we thought the first one was tough. Certainly not in our own strength or desire or abilities. How difficult is it to love your neighbor? And I don't mean the person next door, and that could be the case too. But how difficult is it to love the people that we confront on a daily basis? Ooh. How do we show brotherly love? How do we love the unlovely? How do we be kind to someone who is not kind to us? How do we see the good in everyone, even when they don't show it? How do we reciprocate with kindness when someone has intentionally hurt us? Well, again, I say not on our own strength. Left up to us, we will not show brotherly love. We rarely turn the other cheek, and yet it is a command from our Lord. So, to underscore the topic this morning, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and strength, and might. And love thy neighbor as thyself. Who said that? A little louder?
Jesus.
You think it's important? And on all these hang all the law and prophets. These are the two commandments. Christ was asked, and he gave just these two. Two commandments, and how difficult is it for us as Christians to live up to these? We cannot do it on our own strength. We can't. So when you are confronted with a situation, this afternoon, tomorrow, the days ahead, and you just want to get in somebody's face. My phrase that I use often, James can probably relate to this once in a while, I get something that comes, an email, or probably an email. We get most of the emails these days, or text message. Text is becoming almost catching up with emails these days. Rarely do you get the phone call. When I verbalize it, I just want to jump on somebody's desk with both feet, and I can't. In the business world at 60, almost 62, I can't. Maybe if I was going to retire in a week, I might. But that's the human part, isn't it? How difficult is it to be kind when someone is not? So, it's a command from our Lord and Savior. He paid the ultimate price for us at Calvary. Do we not owe him our very best efforts to try to lead the Christian life as best we can, even though it's that difficult? Ten commandments there on the back of the on the back of the church. Two, Christ said, are important, and yet how difficult they are. You see, it's how we respond to these two commandments that separates us as Christians from the rest of the world. You got that? It's how we respond to these two things that sets the example as to the fact that we are Christians, that we follow Christ. You know, it's, look, verbalizing God's message of salvation is important, and witnessing, we talk about that, and we talk about how difficult that is. But what starts that with people that you're with all the time is how they observe us. How do we respond? How do we act? See, if somebody saw me jump on somebody's desk with both feet, what message did I send? Whew. Wow. I'd feel pretty bad about that one if I did it. I'm glad it's only a mental thing. Could be. I'd be having a tough time looking for that step stool to get up on that desk, wouldn't I? Yeah, that might stop me from doing it right there. Got a step stool? It says in John 13:34, new commandment I give to you. And who is saying this? Jesus. That ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. I want you to repeat that verse with me. By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Just to let that sink in a little bit. And I'm going to leave you with this. Through me, this is entitled, and the author is unknown. Through me, let there be kind words, a warm smile, and a caring heart. Through me, let there be a willingness to listen and a readiness to understand. Through me, let there be dependability, steadfastness, trust, and loyalty. Through me, let there be compassion, forgiveness, mercy, and love. Through me, let there be every quality I find, O Lord, in Thee. And God's people said, Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.